This is We Are What We Overcome. What you're about to hear are the ramblings and reflections of three ordinary people, drawing on their own personal and occasionally professional experiences. These conversations are unprepared, subjective, and should not be taken as medical advice or instruction. Anyone seeking help should always carry out their own research, or better yet, speak to a professional about their circumstances.
All right, Matt, on your count, I'm not going to count as in this time because that's always a disaster.
Okay, let's go for 3, 2, 1.
We Are What We Overcome on this occasion features musician Matt McGuinness, improviser Nick Tyler, and psychotherapist Wes Evans. Sit back, enjoy, and remember, it's good to talk.
Welcome to We Are What We Overcome, and we are back. Hello, everybody. Are you all right?
Yes.
All right.
How are you?
Oh, me, if you're talking about me, I'm much better. So, I am. But I don't really want to get into that now because actually this whole episode is going to be about health, isn't it? So we could probably, apparently we're not going to, like the last episode, they got overtaken by me and my symptoms. Apparently, according to Nick, it's not all about me. But I'm going to roll with it just to see how it plays out, I think. But before we get into all that, I think we should check in like we do every month and how everyone should do when they see the friends. So here we go in a natural way. Hi, Nick. How are you doing at the moment?
Oh, hello, Matt. I'm all right. I'm a little shocked that we're at the end of January already. This month has vanished. And I'm a bit freaked out by having gotten some things done, but lots of other things feel like they're floundering, which doesn't feel great. I think there's this, for all that I despise, like the arbitrariness of the year flipping over, I can't deny that it has some psychological impact that we're still supposed to do things and get stuff done. And then when I haven't got stuff done, I feel frustrated. But I'm otherwise okay, I think. Things are all right. Oh, if I'm going to get a prop that I'll need in a moment, but that's relevant to our conversation. But if I don't get it now, I'll forget about it. How are you, Wes?
I am very well, thank you. Yes, feeling pretty good. I suppose in line with the topic of choice for this time and last time, I have been trying to take better care of myself. Generally doing that. Not in some kind of fixed resolution-y kind of a way, just a general trying to take care of myself. And yeah, so I feel pretty good.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I don't know whether I can ask you again or not, Matt. I don't know whether we're allowed to check on your well-being anymore.
I think as far as me speaking, it's got to be the right option, isn't it? I'm good. I've been going to cardio rehab things, you know, with loads of other blokes in a room. And I'm definitely getting back to my normal self for two reasons. One is I looked around the room to check out the most hair out of everyone in the room. And I did. And that made me happy, which shows how shallow I am at the best of times. And the second one, I started laughing because we were doing warm-up exercises. And the lady who runs it, who's ace and deserves a pay rise, by the way, she works for the NHS, was doing it. And her advice was, right, let's have one big stretch. And she went, oh, but those who've just recently had open heart surgery, maybe not that big a stretch. And I thought, that's really good advice.
That's terrifying. You can just imagine the whole chest unzipping itself. Yeah, that's
not good. And I was really grateful that she looked and smiled, but didn't ask me why I was laughing. Because I don't think, I think some other people in the room might have thought it funny, but maybe some others wouldn't have at the time.
Not everyone has that light and attitude towards near-death situations. Hmm.
No, especially if it's them that I'm laughing. I wasn't really laughing at them, was it, as the situation. But I guess if you're one of those people thinking, oh, yeah, maybe I won't do that, I'm sure that wouldn't help. But it was funny. You can't deny that. So there we go.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're getting back on track and doing stuff. That's great. So we're kind of continuing last month's, which was obviously, as we said, hijacked by Matt's much more serious and interesting health problems. But we didn't really get a chance to talk about what kind of exercise we find useful, why we find it useful, what we think it does, and how it makes us feel, and how I guess the process of doing exercise and the activity of it change our I guess, perception of maybe ourselves and our relationships with our own mental health and a little bit of the world around us.
So exercise is one thing, but was it specifically exercise or was it kind of general, you know, physical and mental health and that kind of link?
I think it is. It's not entirely clear how one plays on the other, does it? You know, there are loads of studies that sort of correlate better physical health or better mental health. There's very little causational stuff, which is really interesting. There's a lot of theories about endorphins and, you know, your body's natural opioids going, woohoo, I'm kind of high because I've done some weights. But none of that seems to be like totally clear, which is really interesting.
One thing have either of you heard of the ACEs study?
Don't know. So, I don't know. I'm just thinking of ACE, Matt's training nurse.
Yes, that's what made me think of it when you said that she was ACE, and then we were doing this topic. But it's something I speak a lot around in my work sometimes. And what it's actually about is the link between having some difficult early experiences and then developing struggles later on in life. So the short story is that they did a lot of research and narrowed it down to that if someone experiences one or a number of these set of experiences, such as abuse or neglect or various examples of kind of household dysfunction or difficulty, and it's quite likely that most people have, by the way, that it increases the likelihood that you would develop psychological, social struggles later on, but also kind of physical health studies. Which sounds plausible, doesn't it? That, you know, if I've had some rough stuff happen, then maybe I'm going to struggle with that later on in my life. But the crucial bit is that also these people were more likely to develop kind of heart disease or diabetes and other things. Not just because they were more likely to lean into kind of more unhelpful coping strategies or kind of repeat certain lifestyle choices and patterns, which probably is relevant to this topic, isn't it? Like about coping strategies and stuff, but also because the impact of stress on the body. So, and what that does, toxic stress. So I guess what I'm saying is that feels potentially relevant to this conversation somehow, doesn't it? The impact on the body. So if we're talking about mental health and physical health and the link between those two things, even if you don't talk about early trauma, there's still an impact of stress, isn't there?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I like this idea that, you know, your early childhood, we know, affects you at the very least psychologically, but the idea that it permanently disadvantages you physically is really interesting in ways that wouldn't seem that obvious. I like the idea of toxic traumatic levels of stress. I don't like it, but I recognize it, I guess, is probably a better phrase.
It, being in fight or flight too often and what that can do to how a young brain develops, but what it can do to an adult's kind of day-to-day experience, how it affects the immune system, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
There's a lot in that.
Well, I guess if you effectively got high blood pressure, like through stress when you're 5, then that's probably not going to get much better.
I still find it weird how this whole connection between mental and physical health still seems to be up in the air with people. You know, and I've had that myself with a doctor not so long ago, that they still seem to fully connect the two, like the two things are completely and utterly integrated. And you know, and it's I suppose it's easy for me to say, isn't it, because I have no qualifications and no education or nothing in that area. It just seems like obvious, you know, and I have nothing else to go on besides that.
I think a lot civilizations have been subscribing to that kind of idea for a long, long time, haven't they? You know, like a kind of a lot of the Eastern kind of way of doing things is, from what I understand, and again, it's in a very narrow understanding, but you know, it's built upon the fact that we need to take a holistic view at things and that everything needs to be balanced and harmonious and one impacts the other. But like you say, it doesn't seem to be fully subscribed to here, does it?
And maybe it's because of what you can prescribe as well, to some extent. You can prescribe someone drugs and you can tell someone they should go for a run 3 times a week, but the drugs are a lot easier to make someone take, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure how linked that is. I like the Eastern stuff, though, yeah, that general idea, of, even if it's not particularly well executed in general, like the overall idea that your physical and mental well-being are definitely connected. in some way. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, they've done.
We have to make sure we don't suffer some kind of big long conversation about Big Pharma now here as well, aren't we?
Oh yeah.
Have you heard
that
of
is a risk.
The term social prescribing?
Yes.
No.
Yeah. So like that probably kind of lends itself well to this idea that there are lots of ways in which we can take care of our mental health as well as the kind of medical model kind of approach. And so some of that will include kind of taking care of yourself physically, won't it?
But even that, I think that's a good point, actually, because when it's come up about social prescribing in different meetings or whatever else, or when you read about it, it does get dismissed like it's some kind of
wishy-washy.
Going out for a walk instead of taking 27 tablets? Are you joking?
that feels a little bit like the placebo effect, though, doesn't it? You know, because we've paid a tenner for a bunch of tablets, that feels like it's got extra value. Whereas I could just go for a run anytime. That doesn't cost anything. That can't possibly have any value. If we don't have to pay loads for it, it can't do anything, right? It's which is sort of ridiculous, but I mean, they have done those placebo trials, and it's so noticeable the difference between taking like Nurofen and just taking, you know, your own brand 45 pence packet of Nurofen. Some people are really affected by the packaging. In fact, the one costs more. Really interesting that it's, you know, absolutely identical stuff.
Wow.
So I think there's a bunch of weird stuff with it for how people treat it and deal with it. I mean, personally, I find the exercise is good, but it's something that if I'm not in a good mental place, I will forget that it does me a great deal of benefit and then also not do it and take me into a good quality doom spiral through not doing it, which is a bit weird.
It's one of those kind of catch 22 things, isn't it? It's because it's like, apart from the things that our society tends to lean into, all of the things that would help someone when they feel really crappy are the first to go out the window when they feel crappy, unfortunately, because of lack of motivation and energy and everything else, you know. So it's like a bit of a sod's law thing. You know, stop taking care of yourself because you feel so crappy, but taking care of yourself in lots of different ways would really help you not feel so crappy.
But it is,
yes.
The
it's ridiculous.
It's the emphasis that the whole the society puts on different things, isn't it? You know, like if the local swimming pool closes, who cares? You know, if the local library closes, who cares? The school's got to remain open, because they teach you maths and English and stuff like that in there. But you know, all the other stuff, which is just ancillary, really, isn't it? You know, can go to the wire. I don't think there's anything better for me than going swimming, you know, mentally. It's phenomenal, the difference. It gives me an immediate difference, you know. I'm sure there are other
things. Doing that difference is? What is the difference? Describe it.
I think it's because when I'm swimming, I have to focus on swimming, you know, and it's like, do you know what I mean? I can't sit there, I can't swim there and then start thinking about a million other things, and I can't go and get to my phone, and I can't go on a computer, and I can't watch the TV, and I can't, you know, I can't say you leave everything behind. Well, you don't leave everything behind, you get arrested, wouldn't you? But you know, you leave everything but your swimming trunks behind.
It's all very multi-layered, isn't it? Like, this stuff is good for your muscles and your body and your cardiovascular system. It releases great chemicals in your brain. Mm. It's a bit of a mindfulness exercise because it focuses your attention and stops you getting distracted by all that crap.
Yeah.
So that really does make sense, actually, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the biggest thing I have to try and remember when there is how many lengths I've done, because it bugs me when I don't think, you know, although actually it makes no difference how many lengths you've done, is it? It's just a timer thing. But yeah, I think that's it. I think it's a lack of anything else. And it's just, and also there's no pretension to it. It's, you know, I one thing that really makes me happy, and I just look at other people and think, God, they're amazing, is, you know, people who aren't as ripped as I am, who go in the swimming pool. And I just,
you are a man's man, Matt.
Well, hopefully a man and a woman's man, you know, no inequality. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, I look at people who come in who may well in other circumstances feel, you know, very aware about their body and whatever. I just think they're incredible people. They, you know, they just whatever they're involved in, They've got loads of reasons. We've all got loads of reasons why we wouldn't do something like that. And also as well, you know, within society, actually putting on a swimming costume and going in a pool, it's not, do you know what I mean? It doesn't really, it takes a certain drive to do that. And then they do that and it's a routine and it I just think that's phenomenal, actually.
Yeah.
Yes, I like the swimming pool I go to 3 or 4 times a week is full of people of all ages, all shapes and sizes. And, you know, we all get different stuff from it, I think. I like the mindfulness part of it. I find it a very good break from whatever I was doing. And very often I find that, not that I've solved the problem of what I was trying to do at work or whatever through swimming or through thinking while swimming, but simply from not doing whatever I was doing before. Yeah, these proper interruptive breaks in the day, because I swim at lunchtime, so I've had a morning of, you know, getting stuck doing whatever, break it up, come back, and everything is often clearer, or at least I feel more capable of dealing with whatever I was trying to handle, which is quite pleasant. I was going to show you where we talked about this last time. Look what I bought.
Oh, kettlebell.
I actually bought a kettlebell. God, it's heavy. Oh, that's much heavier. I couldn't handle that.
Oh no, there's an 8 one here too as well. Look, is yours an 8?
Oh, 8. 8's really heavy. Oh, goodness me. 14 looks insane.
There's another angle to this, potentially. Well, there's probably loads of angles to it. But the other thought I just had was that if somebody has some kind of medical condition, physical ailment, physical disability, what have you, whatever, the potential for that to kind of affect mental health, you know. And so that, again, being another like link between this kind of, you know, physical health, mental health, or physical well-being, mental well-being. So there's something there, isn't there, about how someone with a long-term condition or whatever, how that does kind of affect one's mental health. And then even on the flip side of that, of like how maybe attending to one's mental health helps someone manage a physical condition and vice versa. You know what I mean?
I can see that. Yeah, I got very trite, superficial examples of that, I guess. I mean, I got really bad asthma, but deliberately going out swimming and cycling 3 or 4 times a week is part of a system for controlling that. Yeah, if you're underwater, your body just has to suck up to the idea that you're not going to get to breathe for a minute. So it's kind of a training and conditioning exercise. But anyway, I'm always conscious. I can always feel my lungs. I don't know if that's a thing that sounds sensible or familiar, but yeah, I can feel their extent when I'm breathing all the time, and that it doesn't go as far as I'd like it to. And knowing that I can go underwater for half a minute or something is quite reassuring. And it's good just for panic attacks and asthma attacks and stuff like that. Yeah, the worst part of an asthma attack is that you know that you can't breathe, and that's self-reinforcing and makes it so much worse. Whereas really you just need to attempt to relax and go, I'll breathe in a bit, but for now.
So having to kind of tend to yourself mentally is also a part of how you manage that physically speaking as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it helps. Yeah, it definitely helps. Yeah, I know if I'm like hunched over, like kneeling on the floor, hunched over, I can't breathe at all, which is not great. But knowing when my body can function is good. And what's an even nice thing about exercise is expanding the extent that your body can function and finding, you know, greater strength, greater agility or whatever than you had previously. Yeah, we talked a lot about creativity and performative stuff that we all do, but different performance arts, and how that helps express yourself mentally and opens up different parts of us. You feel like you're using your mind. The feel of using your body, I think, is also really, really helpful. You know, that full stretch thing where you're like, oh, I can feel all of the different muscles in my body stretching that I haven't felt really for ages, is really interesting. It feels like it's part of the awareness of having a body, and what it can do is really is both reassuring and I don't know, something else, something that makes you feel good. I guess it's linked to self-image and social perception. We're all supposed to be ripped, aren't we? Skinny and ripped and tough. And even if you want to reject those stereotypes, it's quite hard not to be influenced by them and want to conform to them at least a little bit.
Certain kind of layer of like culture and society that keeps pressing against lots of bits of our conversation so far, isn't there? But there was something you were just saying then as well about, like, you know, the kind of fear, worry, anxiety kind of thing in the mix there with like with asthma and panic attacks, for example. But yeah, and I suppose I was just thinking about like even mindfulness, even some mindfulness exercises require you to check in with your body, don't they? So there's just multiple examples of this kind of connection and the kind of.
Do you not think one of the issues for me is, and I don't know how far you go with it, is this whole separation as though there's mental health and there's physical health, you know, and they're two separate things. Like, you know, if you went to see a doctor, and you started straying too much into mental health, you immediately get posted off
You
to
have to go to
somebody
a
who deals with
different
mental health,
service,
you
yeah.
know, but
Even
with
then,
physical health, that wouldn't
they're
happen.
looked at differently as well. You know, like if you break your leg, you need to give your leg what it needs and rest and recovery and proper treatment. But, you know, all of the stuff around just shrugging off mental health and not taking it as seriously, like there's something in that too, isn't it?
It's weird though, isn't it? Because I feel like the doctors I've had have been pretty good about that stuff. You know, sure that they're up for giving you pills and stuff, which I appreciate because I like those. They're medicines work. I like them. But you know, they're also always checking. It's like, you know, do you exercise? What is it that you're doing? Are you getting enough sleep? You know, all the doctors I have here are all always interested in that.
I think it's on the
And they
radar.
might not be, and they might not be describing it as, you know, I'm interested in how much you exercise in terms of your mental health, but I feel like the way they talk about it and what they talk about next clearly links those things together. Maybe they're used to other people not joining the gap, joining the dots between those two.
I
So they
think
don't, you know.
the term well-being is kind of something that's chucked around a lot, which probably incorporates a lot of the stuff we're talking about, doesn't it? And I do think that's definitely on the agenda as far as our society goes. But we're probably catching up in miles behind some other countries and cultures and things. The thing about not treating mental health as seriously or having much of a kind of understanding attitude towards it, like you've got a broken leg, you probably shouldn't keep doing this. Oh, you're feeling a bit crappy. Well, come on, keep calm, carry on, kind of thing. I think that's still a thing in kind of general, not necessarily from your doctor or whatever, but kind of just people. And even us, if we're
Is
not,
there, you know,
something to be said for that, isn't it? You know, like just
just get it together, man.
shrug it off and
Yeah.
yeah.
It's tricky, isn't it? Because sometimes that probably is the right advice, you know. It's horrible, is it? It's that you can never know quite what's inside someone else. So whatever prescription you give out like that may or may not be useful. I suppose shrug off is probably advice best given to yourself. You know, it's, I've suffered some kind of setback. Like, well, you can't fix it. Yeah, that's the mindfulness. Can you really do anything about what you've already done? Or can you change stuff for the better in the future?
That's
There's
interesting.
something. There's
This is
something.
probably another topic, actually, but even then, I'm not sure that I would agree that shrug it off is good advice. I know there is something to be said for when you have to acknowledge that you can't do something about something, but
Suppose it's the level of what it is the issue, isn't it? You know, you could shrug it off could be good advice when it's something fairly minimal, and you just, do you know what I mean? If you know yourself that you're overreacting to it, or you know, putting too
yeah.
much importance on it, it's just, you know, I mean, I've had that, you know, I suppose with financial stuff, if you've, you know, you spent 40 or 50 quid on something you haven't really got, on something you don't really need, it's pointless bashing yourself about it. You just need to, I don't know,
Just
move
buy
on,
something
stick
else, make yourself feel
it
better.
on eBay.
It's tricky, isn't it? So I think we all agree that if we've got things that we don't want to deal with, we should push them all down, lock them away, and never deal with them.
Yeah,
Yep,
that's what
all
I
right,
mean.
and we can
Shrug it
move on
off's
from
not quite right, but swallow it
that.
and stop being a moaner
No,
is definitely the right. Yeah, that's what that's about.
I agree. It's strange, isn't it? So I'm curious, what exercise do we do? Because everyone does different things. Not everyone thinks of exercise that they do as being exercise. I don't usually think of the swimming that I go and do as being exercise. I like being in water. The fact that I have to cycle a couple of miles either way to get there and then do that for 40 minutes doesn't really turn it into exercise for me, which is peculiar. I
It's
realize that's how
almost an
someone else would
Olympic
describe it.
sport, Nick.
Yeah, but so
Cycling
is
to
chess.
somewhere and then swimming afterwards. All you got to do is a bit of running, and you could enter the
Won't.
possible.
I ain't running. That's not for me. That's a sweat involving activity. I don't approve of that.
Well, I run.
I
I don't
was
mind running.
I always thought it was important to be fit enough to be able to run away from someone who's trying to kill you, or maybe catch a train. That for me was for a long time like that's the only level of fitness that I require.
Well,
Don't
they're
they
the
say
only
you're
two
only moving
reasons to
faster
run.
than
The slowest person, kind of thing.
Well, ideally you run with someone else, don't you, who's not quite as quick as you. I think that's always been the good advice. So then you can trip them, and then they're the one that gets eaten by the train or whatever.
Oh, well, you don't need to be faster then. You just need to be good at tripping people up.
Yes, absolutely. You don't need to be, yeah, you can walk if you can do that. You're fine. So ice wound cycle, and I've added this kettlebell routine to my mornings.
What is the bell for?
Which,
looks like
a, oh my god! Oh, I thought I was gonna die.
I'm gonna buy one as well, but I want to buy one that's actually a kettle, so it just looks like that. That'd be better. Then I could feel
you
like
you can do. I mean, yeah, that you can probably get what 2 liters of water in that. So that'd be a 2 kilogram weight. You know, that's all right. But I've never done resistance training, and I'm pretty fit with cycling and swimming. You know, I'm not. I couldn't compete in against a child in any kind of contest, but I hadn't appreciated how many muscles aren't used in either swimming or cycling, but are used by lifting this goddamn thing up behind my head. That's insane. I really thought I was going to die. My heart was racing, like much like Matt was in late November. And yeah, I was like, I'm not sure I can do this. This is a 15 minute workout for beginners. it's gotten better over the month, but
yeah, good on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I can.
How often are you doing it?
Doing it every day. It's only 15 minutes.
Every day. Wow, brilliant.
First thing in the morning. Yeah, it's this bit where you take the whole thing behind your head and start doing that for like 40 seconds at a time. Sometimes in the second round of reps, it gets rested on the top of my head for a few seconds. That I'm not ready for that bit yet, but the rest of it is getting much better, and I like it because I can feel all of the different muscle groups. I'm never going to be, you know, I was going to say Jeff Capes. I don't know why that's irrelevant and useful. I don't know what that's my idea of physical fitness, but apparently it is. Yeah, it's never going to be that. I've always been kind of skinny and then get fat from drinking beer. And this feels nice. I like it. So that's my exercise currently anyway.
Great.
What's your routine, Wes? Or semi-routine?
Yeah, semi-routine. Just kind of mixing between going out for a run, doing a kettlebell session, or visiting the gym. If I do the gym, I will do a bit of the treadmill and then, you know, some weights bits. But so it's just kind of some of those a few times a week, hopefully. If I'm really kind of motivated, I might have a spell of that. It's one of those things every day, just whichever one. If I'm less motivated, I might not have done anything for nearly a week, which is the current situation. So.
Can you feel it when you haven't done it? You know,
yes, actually, I can. Probably what I notice more is how great I feel when I am doing it. It's dead easy to slip into not doing it, and then it's only if I really think about it and think, actually, yeah, I just feel generally slumpish, blah, 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 whereas feel energized and positive and relaxed and all sorts of things when I am doing those things. I suppose the other part of it is it not only does doing that stuff kind of, you know, you mentioned the endorphin thing earlier, you know, it pumps all of that around and everything, but even kind of feeling good about doing it and feeling that you are progressing or getting better or whatever, you know, will give you dopamine, for example. So
it's definitely some self-stroking, isn't it? Yes, well done, I've done a thing.
So
also, I've done a thing. I'm now mildly superior to those who have not, which is super helpful.
So thinking about mood and feeling good and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, it's curious, isn't it?
What do you do in the cardio rehab sessions, Matt? Apart from stretch quite too far.
It almost seemed like it was a bit naff, although you're going to say it's all naff. You know, country and western line dancing, it felt like that, you know, like I think next
really
week
good exercise.
One of the western shirts and put that on or something,
do-si-do and all that kind of thing, and heel slap.
Not obviously not a fast version, but it was just stretching and but I mean it was for like 40 minutes or something, and you can definitely feel it, you know. I can feel it that I've been doing it.
How is it that you feel it, like in your body and your muscles and that kind of
thing? Yeah, like, I do feel much better
internally. Or
it's a positive thing as well, isn't it? You know, you as well as all that, you you feel like that next fag is all right to have, isn't it? Not that I smoke, but do you know what I mean? It sort of offsets all the bad habits that you do have, and it makes you feel good. I mean, I have to say though, because you're supposed to do some stuff while, you know, in the rest of the week, and I go out walking quite a bit, and I'm trying to get back into swim, but I can't really do the exercises they prescribe because I just, and so I'm going to try and join. There's a one in Belper where they do this session once or twice a week, and I think that's the only way I can do it, you know, if I've got to go somewhere and do it.
Yeah,
because if it's left up in the morning for me to do it or make the coffee wins.
It's fair. That's part of the privilege of being able to maintain health, isn't it? It's partly having the time, the opportunity, the money, if that's a necessary thing, in order to get healthy and stay healthy. You know, for all that you can fill up to 4 liter jugs of milk and lift those every day, very few people feel like that's a thing, because we're surrounded by gyms and stuff. You know, being healthy costs money, just like eating healthy costs money. And yeah, we're fortunate to be able to get our lives together to the extent that we can stay fit, which is, you know, nice and all. I was reading about health for aging as well, and how, you know, just maintaining physical exercise, you're gonna live longer, your life's gonna be less awful when you're old, keeps, you know, all sorts of things like dementia at bay. Scary stuff. So definitely by mid-40s we should definitely start doing some of this. This is going to help. But I quite like that idea, as the future-proofing my own body to a certain extent.
I think that's been, broadly speaking, what's given me a little bit of a shift recently to thinking, in lots of ways, just get back to taking some care of yourself, you know, both in that future-proofing sense, but in that kind of general kind of enjoyment of life and all sorts of stuff, really. But it is hard to sometimes keep things going for a variety of reasons, like you say, you know, or even motivation kind of angle, or kind of building routine and all that. But it's weird because I can kind of flip between really being kind of good with it and feeling like I'm doing it well. And that helps me make better choices elsewhere as well. It's like it almost props up anything else, you know, because why would I want to do this, that, or the other when I'm taking care of myself and feeling so good or whatever? But at the same time, can slip out of that mindset even temporarily. So there's a big thing about mindset in this somewhere, isn't there?
Mm. Yeah, although I find that.
I've been thinking that there's probably a bunch of other topics, you know, that offshoot from this somehow.
Oh, I should think so. I think the motivation thing I find fascinating. So we talked about this before. Yeah, you know, I've got a good thing going. I've got a good thing going. I really like it. Next day, sod it.
Yeah.
No reason for it. Like the kettlebell thing. I've been doing that for three weeks, most of January. So that's almost long enough to have established some kind of routine.
That's great.
I'm painfully aware that if I have a really crappy night's sleep, I might just drag myself up here at 9 o'clock and start work and not bother doing it.
Was this a New Year's resolution then?
No. No, none of your nonsense. That New Year's resolution bollocks. You know how I feel about
January, hey?
Didn't start the beginning, so a week and a half in, I will not do that. Right. If it's a resolution, then it's like a promise, and a promise that I won't keep. Yeah. Whereas this is like, I feel the desire to do it.
It's
feels
good that
different.
You're still self-aware, Nick. It's good. That's
Yeah.
Well done.
You know, it's funny because similarly speaking, that's kind of where I was at, except I started like before the new year with business.
Smart.
And I was the same thing. This is not a resolution.
It definitely has to start on the 1st of January. Otherwise, it doesn't count. You know,
Agreed. Otherwise, you just start saying mid-April and then you're like, well, you haven't done anything at all because it wasn't allied to New Year. I don't know. What I'm finding for motivation at the moment is it might not work very well for everybody, but I'm getting up and doing the kettlebell exercise and then I'm making myself write a short story every morning as well, which like that. So do that, make blood flow into my brain. Because apparently that's one thing that business exercise does really well, moves the blood through your brain faster.
You get a really heavy pen, that'd be good as well.
That would probably do it. I'd feel that all the way through my face. Oh, I can't write. And yeah, that as a combined activity has combined two things I like. One, which is feeling stronger. The other is writing something and doing a creative thing at the start of the day. So the two kind of work together, because I'll get to lie on the floor for 30 seconds after it going, oh my God, I think I'm going to die. And then haul myself back up and do something interesting.
That's great.
It's, yeah, weird combo, but it seems
that's
a direct mental physical health link. Mm. Strange. I don't know what I want. I don't know what else I want to do. It makes me wonder if I could be one of those people that went to a gym, but I think I'm still probably not. I think the whole environment thing I find very intimidating.
Where is Nick? That's what I want to know.
Where am I?
New Year's resolution and talking about going to a gym.
I know. I think something bad happened to me and I've pushed it out of my mind and all we're seeing are the consequences. I've buried the actual cause. I mean, don't worry, this will probably be dead by the time my birthday comes around in August.
I think if you go to the gym, we should definitely do a live podcast from your second or third time you're there. Whilst on a treadmill, that'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
If I go to a gym, I want the two of you to promise to kill me. I feel like that would be a betrayal of everything that I am. whatever that means. I don't even know what that means. I don't know. It's the right I don't want to be in. I want to, partly because I feel like I want to be able to force myself to do exercise or find a way to exercise that isn't in an environment that demands that's what I have to do. I want it to be a genuine choice. Because if you go to the gym, I imagine it's quite hard to just sit there in the corner and drink coffee. You probably feel like you have to do it. I want to be able to self-motivate and self-chosen to do this in my own, on my own terms, in my own in my own space.
Whereas Matt needs to go somewhere. That's what you were saying. Yeah, which is fair enough. Yeah,
so gym wouldn't work for me. It's got to be like a class. Do you know what I mean? It's like 9 o'clock on a certain day. Because if I went, if I made the mistake of a gym membership, that's as far as it'd go.
I think we should talk about mindset and motivation at some point. Not necessarily just in relation to exercise, but anything. I think that's very
individual. How do we make ourselves do stuff? But I would also very much like a rundown of the various dance classes that you end up going to, Matt. I want to hear about jazzercise and modern street dance.
I'd like to learn to dance, actually, probably. I think that'd be quite good.
They sound great. I got loads of friends that do line dancing and Lindy Hop and stuff, and they'd love it.
I'm not so sure line dancing.
I'm very much enjoying this. This is marvelous.
Who
I feel like you've blended all the possible. Jack Nicholson by way of Mr. Motivator.
One danced over the cuckoo nest.
That sounds perfect. We are running out of time, gentlemen.
Okay.
Ooh. All right. Well, I'm super proud that we're all doing stuff at the moment that is making us feel good, and that we're feeling good about doing stuff to make ourselves feel good. That's a nice self-reinforcing cycle. I think a lot of our brain motivation works that way anyway, doesn't it? So well done, everyone.
And hopefully next month we're live from the Leicester Comedy Festival or somewhere like that.
Oh, yeah. That sounds great.
But we shall see.
That will be exciting. Yes. Well, all right. Any final thoughts on health and exercise and well-being type things?
Take care of yourself.
Oh.
In all senses of that word.
Cool.
That's like a Christmas message word. Yeah. All right, gang. Stay some kind of well. Look after yourselves and each other. See you all soon.
If you've been affected by anything that we've talked about tonight, that's cool. We were kind of hoping you would be. If you haven't been affected by anything tonight, then that's great too. You're probably fine. Of course, if you say you're fine, there's a good chance you aren't. So you might also have been affected. And if you've been affected before, you probably will be again. Please talk to someone. It can get better, and together we can survive. We are what we overcome. And this